Lord God, we love you, we bless you, we adore you, we magnify you, we place none other before you. We lift you up high, God. We ask you just to be inside of me, be inside of my mouth, my mind, my thoughts, my actions, my words. Let them be able to be penetrating to the soul of those that hear, Father God. Let them be words that just manifest itself, and let your Holy Spirit reign and rule in my life like never before. Let my thoughts be your thoughts, let my words be your words. Everything that I see and say, God, let them be ordered by you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, City Reach, Burlington, and the world. Thank you once again for joining with us as we share the Word of God, what the Word of God has on my heart to share with you. And we are going to continue on with the series we started last week. I'm talking about there is a reason. People, you know, have a reason. We're going to talk about why we're here and our purpose and our plan. All of us have a purpose. All of us have a plan. All of us have an identity and the reason why we're here. I'm holding before you something a lot of us have in our homes. It is, a butter knife. Right? You call it a butter knife or a paring knife, or it could be used to spread butter or cream cheese, whatever you like. It could be used to cut bread, cut bagels and things like that. But it can also, depending on your tools and depending on your situation, be used for various different circumstances, different things. For example, this can also be used as a screwdriver. Right? You can do it. It can fit. We use it as a screwdriver. It can be used as a hammer. Right? It could be used. Let's see. What else can you use this butter knife for? A fingernail file. It works. That's gross. But it works. But it works. And I kind of did that to kind of show you that if you have a tool, if you have an item, you have something, and if you don't really know its use, it could be, you could likely to misuse it. So everything has a purpose. Everything has a plan. This butter knife has a purpose. It's to spread butter. But if you don't know its use or why it's there, you can misuse it. You could potentially misuse it for something that is not meant for. Right? And just like that butter knife, we are here for a purpose. We are, God created us for a purpose. And if we don't know what our purpose is, we can be misused. We can misuse our life and misuse our time that we're here on earth, misuse the gift that God has given us. And either we can misuse ourselves or other people can misuse us to their benefit and to their good, but not to yours. But the thing is, it's not to your good or your benefit or their good or their benefit. It's to God's glory. We are here for a purpose. We are here for a plan. And just because you might be able to do something, you might not be called to do that. For example, we have those the square pegs and the holes that you put to test your IQ. So if you have a square peg, you want to put it in a square hole. You have a round peg, you want to put it in a round hole. But sometimes the round peg does fit into the square hole. It may not fit perfectly, but it fits. And you might be able to turn it and maybe, you know, to able to utilize it, but it's not purposely fit for that. It's not perfectly fit for that, that round peg into the square hole. And what happens is if you keep putting the round peg in the square hole, or if you keep misusing the gift that you God has given you, keep missing that tool, that thing that you got in your hand that you're using, you can put damage to it, and you could misuse it, and you can break it, or you put it the round peg into the square hole, you turn it around, eventually you're gonna strip the hole, and it's gonna be not operable for the square peg, and what's gonna happen? You're also gonna shed around the round peg, and it won't fit properly into the round hole. So you do damage to both the tool and the thing you're trying to utilize the tool with. So our lives are just like that. God created us for a purpose. God created us for a reason. We are not here by mistake. You are not here by a circumstance. You're not here by accident, by chance, by luck. But God created you and me for a purpose and for a reason. Amen. In the book of Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a season and there's a time and there's a purpose for everything, including you. You have a purpose. You have a time. You're here now. Now is your time. And the season is now for you to do what God has called you to do. Sometimes there's a time to rest, season to rest, season to plant, season to grow, season to separate, season to come together. And that whatever season God has you in your life, utilize that season and go to God and find out what the season is in your life. And more importantly, go to God to find out what your purpose is in life. Why? Because God created you. He has your manual when he put you together, when he created you. He knows what's best for you. Mark Twain has a saying, has a quote regarding purpose. It says, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. And that's good. I like that. The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. Because it's like everybody celebrates the birth of a child. Everybody celebrates, even to the fact that they celebrate the coming of a birth of a child. They have the baby shower and have all these different showers and different gifts and toys and things like that. And it's a big celebration when a child comes in, is born into the world. But there will also be a celebration when that child or that person finds out why they are here and finds their why. We need to find our why, because right now a lot of people are walking around not knowing why they're here. A lot of people are walking around not believing that they're here for a purpose. They're thinking they're just here and have no reason why, and think, you know, they're not loved, or they think they don't have a gift. They don't think they have a talent, or they don't think they serve a purpose. They don't think they're that important. You are important. Otherwise, God would not have created you to be here. You mean something to somebody. Even if you're by yourself, you mean something to God, because God created you for a purpose. He created you for a purpose and with a purpose and on purpose, because God never makes a decision that isn't ordered by him. God never makes something without something for, or something for that thing to do. And that includes you. You are created for a purpose. Amen. So we're going to continue. There is a reason. And today's topic, we're going to talk about finding your why. Let's find your why. Once you find your why, you can go about and do what God's called you to do. Once you find your why, you can go in peace and find out, okay, now I know what I've been created to do. Now I know why I'm here. Now I know what I have to do. Now I know, more importantly, what I shouldn't do.
Right.
Because a lot of times we go through life, especially when we're younger, we'll try this, we try that. I think I want to be this. When I was a kid, I think when I was in middle school, the teachers asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I think my first time I wanted to be a pilot. I want to be a pilot because I want to fly into airplanes. And then back then, I think they had to be like perfect vision. And then I started wearing glasses and then that was out. And as your kid, you go through your different ideas of what you want to be when you grow up, what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Most women, who they want to marry. Most guys, what they want to play, or sports or whatever, and things like that. I wanted to be a basketball player, but, you know, not. Whatever. But it's like finding your why is like it's just as important, or if not more important, than the reason why that your day you were born, because that's the day you can start to fulfill your purpose.
Yes.
And that's the day you can start walking into the destiny, into the promise that God created for when he said, I knew you before you were born.
Yes.
Before I created you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I foreknew you. So once God foreknows you, why don't you ask him who you are and who you're supposed to be? And you can find your why through him. And that's, for example, let's take into point one of the characters from the Bible called David. We all know who David is. He was the shepherd boy, Jesse's son, one that was overlooked. the one that beat Goliath when the army of Solomon was trying to go out there, and Saul was trying to go out there, and they was afraid to fight him. He conquered Goliath, and he became the king. And we even call the city of David. His name lives on for now, forever. He was a man after God's heart. In the book of Acts 13, chapter 36, it kind of encapsulates it. It says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, in his time, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. So that kind of tells you that David has served God's purpose, not his purpose. He was after God's own heart. So when you're after God's own heart, you can serve God's purpose. And that's the reason why we're here. In his own time, in his season, in his generation, at the right time. He was doing the right thing at the right time, and he set up for greatness. And then after that, he'd be able to fall asleep. And then after that, his body decayed and died because he was done with his purpose. But his spirit lives on forever, and we remember him now forever because he served God's purpose at the right time. And that's what we've been called to do. You can be like David. You can be like Jesus. You can serve God's purpose at the right time. And I have a couple of purpose principles that I think we can follow our lives after, or pattern our lives after, a couple of purpose principles. The first one is, your purpose isn't for you. Your purpose is God's purpose. Your purpose isn't for you. Your purpose is God's purpose. Why do you say that, PK? Why is my purpose not for me? Because it's my purpose. It's me. But if you're doing everything that pleases you or that seems right for you, it may seem good. It may feel good. It may look successful. But it can't be. It's not going to be as successful as what God designed you to be. Because we can only do what we have empower ourselves to do and empower ourselves to be. Like this butter knife, in and of itself, it can't use itself. Right. And we need to realize that, just like that butter knife, in and of myself, I can't do anything without God's power. I can't do the things without his Holy Spirit working in me and empowering me to do the things I do or to give me the words to say things, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be up here today. But he gives you power. He gives you the ability to encourage. He gives you strength to go on. He gives you the ability to do what God has called you to do. So if we don't serve our own purpose, we serve God's purpose, because he's the one that created us. So we need to go back to the originator. We need to go back to the one that created us, the one that gave us who we are, made us who we are, and find out the reason why we're here. He's open and he's willing for you to come back and read your manual about who you are. If we look at the Psalms 57 chapter in the second verse, it says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. Because once I realize that and I fulfill his purpose for me, I am as successful as I can be. I am more successful with God, filling out God's purpose, than if I'm filling out my purpose. Because what happens is, if I fulfill my purpose, I only make myself happy. But if I fulfill God's purpose, I make God happy, which also impacts others and makes them be able to fulfill their purpose. Yes. Right. For example, if Henry Ford, one of the ones who created becoming the first Ford cars, if he fulfilled his purpose and created a car just for him, we wouldn't be able to ride cars right now in America. Right. Sometimes you got to not think about yourself and do what God's called you to do, and let God create inside of you the things that he needs to create so that you can be able to produce what God's produced inside of you. He's placed tiny seeds of kernels of thoughts and visions and things inside of you that you need him to help you prepare and produce to be the best that you can be. Amen? Matter of fact, that he placed those seeds and those ideas and those kernels and those little nuggets inside of you. If we look in the book of Jeremiah, 29th chapter, 11th verse, we've heard this many times before. And God is saying, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God knows his plans that he has for us. All we need to do is ask him, Lord God, what do you have for me? What are your plans for me? Before I make a decision, let it be your decision. Before I make a choice, let it be your choice. Before I choose a career, let it be your career. Before I start this business, let it be your business. Before I attend this church, let it be your church. But God, I know you have plans for me, plans to prosper me. I'm going to prosper in everything that I do if I do it according to your plan. And it's not to harm me. It may hurt, but it's not going to harm me. Like I said last week, the weapons may be formed, but it won't prosper. Yes. Amen? Amen? So God has a plan for you and your future. Because you know why? Because you were created on purpose for a purpose. You were created on purpose, yes, for a purpose. Yes. We are not here by mistake. No. You might have, your mom and dad might have made a mistake when they made you, but God created you for a reason. Yes. God created you and allowed you to be here for a purpose. You are might have been a surprise, but you weren't a surprise to God. You might have been an oops, but you're not an oops to God. God created you for a purpose. Somebody that might be listening to me right now is thinking, why am I here? I don't know what my reason is for living. I tried this and it didn't work. I tried that and it didn't work. And nothing I seem to try fails. Everything I try to do fails and it doesn't really work out the way I thought it should. I've been in this relationship and I can't seem to find love the way I thought I deserve. My mother and father, that situation didn't work out and one is not here or something like that. I can't seem to find a job or I can't seem to find a career. And I don't know why I'm here. Maybe I just don't deserve to be here. But I came to tell you, you deserve to be here. Yes. You deserve to be here. If nobody else tells you, let me tell you, yes, you are here for a reason. You are here for a purpose. Yes. And God didn't create you by mistake. He created you on purpose. He knew what he was doing when he made you. He knew what he was going to get when he made you. You don't surprise him. Your mistakes don't surprise him. Your failings don't surprise him. Everything that you tried that didn't work doesn't surprise him. Because it's only going to make you better. It's going to make you who you are. Yes. Even your mistakes make you who you are. So this last week, we win or we learn. We never lose. Thank you, God. And you are created for a purpose. If you don't listen to anything else I have to say, if you switch me off or whatever, let me tell you something. You are created for a purpose. Yes. And you can switch off if you want to, but I got more to say. And here's the thing. Many of us are searching in this world for something that this world can't provide. I'm looking for fulfillment. And I tried this, I tried that. I've tried this, to live in this city. I tried to live in that city and that can't seem to provide what I need. We're coming through this election season. I tried a Democrat and I tried a Republican objective, and that doesn't seem to fulfill what I need. I tried this relationship. I tried that relationship. I tried boys. I tried girls. That doesn't seem to fulfill me. But because you're looking for what you need in all the wrong places. Because you weren't created to stay in this world forever. You were created to live forever in heaven and God, with God. We only here for a short time, if you think about it. Infinity is that long. 80 years, if we look at compared to infinity, is that long. So you are created to be more than where you are right now. This is just a season. So stop trying to find fulfillment in seasonal things. Because once that seasonal thing is going to run over, the season is going to be over. And before you know it, you'll be out of season. Walk around with a fur coat in the summertime. Walking around with yesterday's blessings when God has something new for you. Stop trying to look in seasonal things for eternal things, for eternal, think what God has for you for the eternal. Because we're not here to search this world for what God can give us, because we're here for eternity. Because this world can't provide what we need from God. Amen? All right, purpose principle. Another purpose principle. First one was, your purpose isn't for you. Your purpose is for God's purpose. Another purpose principle, number two, you don't find your purpose. You serve God's purpose. How do I find my purpose? I don't find my purpose. I serve God's purpose. I serve God. How do I? Because that kind of gets to what I'm going to talk about by how we do what we're called to do by serving. Psalm 78, chapter, start with 70th verse. It says, he chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. And he took David from the tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. Because here we go. David, like I said before, he was a man after God's own heart. He was always busy doing something. What God has called him to do, what he was created to do. He was created to tend his father's sheep. And he did well with that. He protected the sheep. He didn't lose any sheep. When a lion came to try to get him, he killed the lion. When a bear tried to get the sheep, he killed the bear. He was always vigilant and doing his best at what he was called to do. As David, his father said, I want you to go tend my sheep. And he did the best that he could. He was always working. Then his father called him, look, I want you to take your brothers out there lunch, because they're out there on the battlefield fighting the Philistines and fighting this one big giant named Goliath. And he took his brothers lunch, and he saw all the people just afraid and cowering over, being afraid to try to battle this big giant. And he's like, how dare you try to come against my God? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine kind of trying to talk bad about my God? You don't know who you're talking with, messing with. You don't talk to my God like that. You don't talk to his people like that. And he took a slingshot and killed him. And then so God called him because he was working. He was always doing what he was created to do. He was always busy serving. He was serving his father. He was serving his brother. Brothers, when he went to serve the lunch, he was serving the King Saul at the time when he was playing before him, and he was serving his people. He called him to serve or shepherd his people because he was shepherding the sheep well. He was shepherding. God called him to be a king and shepherd his people, the children of Israel, well. I said this before. We're not going to hear God say well do until there's a well done. Sorry, I'll say that again. We're not going to hear God say well done until there's a well-do. You got to be doing something what God's called you to do. You got to be serving God in order for him to do what he's promised you to do. He's not going to tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in and enjoy the joys of the Lord until you're doing something. You got to do something to hear God say, well done. Right. Amen? Make sense? All right, so you got to serve God's purpose. Because we don't find our purpose in what we want, what we think, or what's popular today and what everybody else is doing. Because God didn't create you to be like everybody else. If he wanted you to be like everybody else, he would have made you everybody else. But he created each and every one of us individually on purpose, for a purpose and for a reason. Amen? All right. The third purpose principle. If you want to serve God's purpose, you got to start serving God's people. If you want to serve God's purpose, start serving God's people. What do I mean by serving God's people? How can I help you? Go to somebody and see what they need. See somebody in need, help them out. Because if it's not limited to just God's people, because if I heard me say before, God created you, That means God created everybody. So to go to anybody and just like, look, how can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I utilize what I have to bless you, to bless others, and then watch God bless you in return? And we think about that. We think about leadership. We think about who are the better leaders? Who are the strongest leaders? Because we're, like I said, we're in the election season and we're looking for a leader that we can be proud of, a leader to lead our country into the next 4 years. And we're looking for somebody to do that kind of leadership. And we think about the president or the senators or the governors or things like that. And we look at their personalities, their traits, their platforms, their promises, the propaganda even. And you kind of think, you judge their leadership based on how they portray themselves and how their records and things like that. But we should also look and see how they serve. Because in the world's definition of a leader is a person that leads and tells somebody what to do and orders people around and people follow them because of their, you know, charisma or their prestige or their famousness or things like that. But a true leader that Christ came and switched it all around, a true leader serves. A true leader serves those who follows him. A true leader serves those who are around him. If we look at verse Mark, the 10th chapter, 45th verse. So for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So even Jesus, the Son of Man, came down for a purpose. God created him for a purpose and on a purpose to serve. Not to be served. You would think the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would want to be served because he's Jesus. He's God's son. But no, no, no. He said, he flipped the script. He said, look, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Yes. Even to the point of giving my life as a ransom to pay the price of the sin debt for you and for all of us and for many, like he said in the word. And maybe you want to take this for thought, especially in this time, in this season. Since we aren't called to seek a platform or power or position, we are called to serve. Wow. We're not called to be on a platform, to be seen by man, to be praised by man, and to have accolades and things like that, and have buildings named after us and streets named after us. Or we're not called to seek power or privilege or prestige or things like that, or position. We're called to serve. Let the greatest among you serve. Be like the least among you. And let God raise you up. Like, it's not about jockeying for position. It's not about seeing who could be the best and see who could be a winner or a loser or whatever, or the biggest winner, the world's biggest winner. God's not looking for the world's biggest winner. God's looking for the world's sinner that will serve. Wow. He's looking for the sinner that will give his life to Christ and serve God with all that he has. He's not looking for the winner. He's not looking for somebody who thinks they're great. Think they're the greatest. Think they're the most powerful or the prettiest or have the best voice or have the best this, best house, because these things are just temporary. They're just seasonal. He's looking for that person. He's looking for you and for me that will serve and give God his all, just like Jesus gave his all. And your reward will be even greater than you can even imagine. You know why? 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are chosen for a reason. God chose you to be where you are at this time and at this place. God chose you to listen to this message because he has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. PK, what do you mean by he has a purpose, he has a plan for me? What if I don't know? Ask him. Serve him. Serve him by serving others. Because by serving others, you're portraying what God Christ did for us when he served us and served his life on a cross for you and for me. He thought it not robbery to come down from heaven and from glory to come down and to take on earth, an earthly body full of its decay, full of its weaknesses and its proclivities. But he came to pay this price for us because he loved us so much. He loved you that much that before you were even created right now, he prepared a way for you to live forever with him, to reign forever with him. He prepared you a place. He has a place prepared for you in heaven to that you can live with him forever. All you need to do is serve him. Just do what God's called you to do. And before you know it, you realize that the thing that you're doing, that you're serving, it doesn't seem like work. It's like service. And there's a difference. You work to get paid. And you serve, you get rewarded. And reward is even better than pay, because pay is like something that you're due because you earned it. A reward is something you didn't earn. And God rewards us with blessings over blessings, abundantly blessing us. He gives us favor. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy, unmerited favor that we didn't ask for, that we didn't deserve. Because if we look in our life, not over our lives, and we've sinned and we've done dirty, we've done people wrong, but God still blesses us. And God has came down to bless us and to serve us, even in our sin, that we might just give our lives over to him and not live in a life of sin anymore, because he doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to live a life of abundance. As a purpose, he has a plan for you, that you might be blessed, that you might be fruitful and multiply. And God came, Jesus came down. I say this every week. I'm going to say it because that's what I'm called to do. To die for us. To take our place. To pay a debt that we could never pay. We could never pay. But he freely did this for us. He freely did that for you and for me. And all we need to do is accept him into our hearts. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And I call this the salvation ABCs of allowing Christ into our hearts. A, we need to admit or acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, we need to believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we need to see, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." A, acknowledge, admit. B, believe. C, confess. The ABCs of salvation. Allow him and Christ to come into your heart. He doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to live a life of unfulfillment. He doesn't want you to live a life of not knowing what your purpose is. Today is your new birthday. Today is a day you're going to find out why God created you. If you allow Christ into your heart, he will lead you to what you've been called to do. He will lead you to your why. This is why you're here, to find out your why, and God created you. Allow Jesus into your heart, and he'll show you. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this prayer. So, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins. and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Dear God, we love you. We bless you, God. I pray for those that might have prayed this prayer. Father God, touch their hearts. Touch their minds. Father God, allow them to come running to you like never before. Allow them to know that there is no other way to know why they're here but through you. Let them realize that in you is why we live. In you is why we breathe. In you is why we have our being. Because everything can be found in a source, and you are our source. You are our strength. You are our everything. So allow us to trust in you. Allow them to hear from you and speak to them mighty clearly, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Listen, anybody that prayed this prayer or anybody that's looking for a church home or a place to fellowship with, we are here. Our doors are open. We are excited to join with you. We are excited to fellowship with you. I need you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I am so honored that you decided to join with us. God bless you. Have a great day.